Today on Of Record, this year's Halloween market predictions. Apple takes its role in the big game, and political advertising booing ad budgets this year on the next Of Record.
Of Record is a podcast focused on the marketing and advertising industry from the perspective of industry expert Joe Clements. Joe Clements is a co-founder of Strategic Digital Services, a digital marketing firm based in Tallahassee, Florida, and founded in 2014.
I'm Joe Clements, and this is the podcast Of Record. Hey everybody, it's your host, Joe. You can tell if you listen a lot, have a little bit of a stuffy nose. I'm also about to crack open one of these nice lukewarm LaCroix. Refreshing. In the office, in the studio with Kirsten. Say hi, Kirsten.
Hi, Kirsten.
And producer Alex, pushing the buttons.
Pushing buttons.
Alex, give us a sound. Play a sound. Wow. I wish you just had Luke Wilson.
Wow.
You got it.
Did you say Luke Wilson?
Yeah, Owen Wilson. Wow. Fun fact. Wow. Okay. So first thing off the get, two interesting ad stories I saw. So about declining advertising spends. The first was in Ad Age, and it was British advertising continued a week-long blackout for Queen Elizabeth. TV commercials won't be shown for 24 hours on the UK's two largest broadcasters, while most outdoor ads have been replaced with tributes to the late Queen.
Ooh.
Is there anything in the United States where we would stop all advertising?
Absolutely not.
No.
No 9/11, no Challenger, no nothing.
The show must go on.
It does. It really does.
Yeah. Those Brits.
Yeah.
So tying into that was out of eMarketer this week. I saw political advertising is popping up a slow ad market. Political advertising has become big enough that's propping up the overall ad market. In the first half of 2022, Basis Technologies, which handles programmatic ads for political campaigns, saw a more than fourfold rise in political ad spending compared with the first half of 2020, which is crazy because 2020 was a presidential
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
States projected to spend the most this year, according to Ad Impact, include California, $755 million, Pennsylvania, $609 million, Illinois, $606 million, Arizona, $600 million, in Georgia, $575 million. Political advertising accounts for about 10.5% of all advertising.
That makes total sense.
This is interesting.
That doesn't not really, none of that really surprises me.
Advertising would have spent $2.3 billion on just Facebook and Google. So, big market. We know that.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything new in political advertising trends this year? I mean, the biggest thing I've noticed is how much more difficult it is to place anything politically related.
Yeah. Content-wise, I haven't seen anything really revolutionary that I'm like, whoa, we're doing that now. Alex, have you seen anything that's like...
No. I think more in the mailer space.
Yeah.
I've been getting way too many.
You're an adult now.
Mm-hmm.
Mail is... I know mail where it's just printed to send your bills is declining. I was talking with somebody who's a post office rep for Marketers a few weeks ago, and she was like, well, overall mail is declining because like nobody wants their bill sent to them in paper. But promotional mail, marketing materials, cattle, that stuff is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I actually get excited when I get catalogs in the mail.
Sometimes. Oh, I like catalogs. Yeah.
Like
catalogs are underrated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Underrated.
And like even my Ulta ones, I'm like, I already get this on my email, but I like to flip through it. Like
when that Bass Pro Shop catalog shows up in my inbox, clear my schedule.
It goes on the coffee table. It's displayed for everybody.
Your Costco catalog?
No, it's about your Bass Pro.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, I'm very proud to get the full catalog.
We've seen like with like Yeti and Patagonia, I think, do like really nice like catalogs and stuff like
that.
They're actual like coffee book catalogs of like things that like people would want to look at multiple times.
Has anybody ever sent out like a political catalog? Wouldn't that be funny? You like send a catalog?
I don't.
You know what?
I bet
Ron DeSantis could send out a catalog of like a big politician could send out a catalog of their gear and probably sell a lot of gear.
So I actually think that for Ron DeSantis, he could do a catalog of stories from Floridians that he can go from like environment, COVID, to schools or whatever.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And it's this outstanding photography is done without mm-hmm. like within it around the state and stuff. And then hell, like you can even like put like some of his favorite places to eat. The guy like loves going to new restaurants.
It's like
and
a
stuff.
Print version of the website.
Yeah, literally.
With like more stuff in it.
And like maybe a little section about the family.
Yeah. What the reason people must not do that is either one, you are just such a genius that you thought of it here and no one else has thought of it. Or something about the printing of it has to be cost prohibitive. But in that world, especially a big top of ticket, national profile politician, mm-hmm. money is not the primary problem.
No. And like, honestly, you could do like those fold out like posters in it too. Like,
yeah.
That we used to use like in like the early 2000s you put on your walls.
Yeah, from
and stuff.
Sports Illustrated for Kids.
Yeah.
This is my Penny Hardaway poster.
I was thinking like Bop Magazine or, gosh, what was that like rock alternative magazine I used to get a lot of? My sister got a lot of them at least.
Was it, oh, geez, I know.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know, I can see the covers in my head. It's, I'm going to Google it.
I know, it's Hold so on. Frustrating, but my sister literally, I mean, she just opened her box and she kept them all, and they are like so great. I used to keep like 17
Alternative
magazines.
Press.
That was it!
Yeah. Alternative Press.
Oh, those were great. But I really think like candidates like Ron DeSantis could do that. Even like Ted Cruz could probably do that if he wanted to. Gavin Newsom would be an interesting one. There's like some politicians that have.
And they could do them nationally.
Yeah.
Like you could mail to just a big donor list nationally.
Yeah. I think a Florida one would be excellent just because I'm biased.
Yeah.
But we have a really cool. I envision this in my head and I would love to see them do that.
So, you know, I think there's another irony that it's become easier for the people at the top to get attention, but harder for everybody else to get attention.
Yes. Why is that?
I'm not exactly sure. I think it's has to do with when you are, if you are at the top of the media's mind for coverage right now, you're just so much cheaper and easier and more reliable to cover in terms of the ratings you're going to generate
mm-hmm.
or the attention you're going to get, that it's lower risk for them to do a story on it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's...
And, you know, I don't think it's just because Ron DeSantis is governor of a big state. I think he could have been governor of Georgia and probably be getting the same attention.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, I think Gavin Newsom could have been the governor of Oregon or Washington State and be generating the same attention.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Because they're not limited to the media markets. What they're doing well is they're not dominating the media markets in their own state. They're getting national media attention.
Yes. And when you pick up the... Because that's what most people would be watching on a normal given day. I mean, it's a 24-hour news.
Yeah.
Is in those channels. It's not the local news. Like, I think people trust their local news more in like... But it's only coming on once a day for them for like an hour.
Well, so this other thing this ties into what I think has become this year really big are the stunts. So Abbott and DeSantis are busing immigrants from the border, flying immigrants from the border, Newsom is buying billboards in, or was it a billboard he bought in? Oh, he ran a TV commercial in Florida. He ran a TV commercial in Florida a few weeks ago, crapping on DeSantis. So I think it's, you know, running these stunts where you're trolling other states.
Yeah.
That are controlled by the party has become the thing to do because that generates its own social media attention. That generates its own media attention.
As I say, because then there's always a story written. Why is so-and-so doing this in that state?
Yeah.
That's always the story that'll come out.
Yeah. So it looks to me a big part of this in the information war that American elections essentially are now is you're staging these actions to confuse your rival and their territory.
Yeah.
You're giving them an actual problem to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Like a plane load of immigrants who don't speak English, don't have anything, landing in your town is an actual problem you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the other side would say, well, yeah, it's an actual problem we have to deal with. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be the biggest thing that's been the difference, I think, in, if you want to say advertising or marketing in politics right now, is the stunts are.
Yeah. And not just like we're rolling out new policy announcements.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that anymore. Yeah. This is WWE.
Yeah. It's on a whole different level now.
This is something I always, you know, Trump, for better or worse, deserves credit for, was understanding that the same person who is the American voter is also the American TV viewer. Mm-hmm. And what the American TV viewer watches is not Masterpiece Theater on PBS. They're watching Game of Thrones. They're watching WWE. They're watching CSI. They're watching Real Housewives. In understanding that if you just give them the same sort of content, they'll pay as much attention to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So next story. You know what? I got an interesting one.
Okay.
You want to get controversial?
Yes.
All right, let's get canceled. So I saw this was a poll that Morning Consult ran. So it is this. I didn't know that there was backlash. I didn't know there was racial backlash against HBO House of the Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well I'll read this. In light of recent backlash against HBO's racial backlash against HBO's House of the Dragon and forthcoming The Little Mermaid, what share of U.S. adults said they support casting actors of color in TV and film adaptations of other media where the source material does explicitly state the race of the character is white? And it's a multiple choice. 20%, 37%, 49%, or 61%. So let's get to the first thing on the IP side.
Okay.
Where are you at on this issue?
I mean, I hate to...
Because we also have like a black female James Bond coming down the pike, right? Yeah.
To me personally, I just don't really care. Like as long as the acting is good and it's like not derailing the character's like morality and stuff like that, it doesn't like really matter to me. Like people, I know, like I'm a big House of Dragons fan right now, but like a lot of people are up in arms about that kind of casting and making it more diverse and stuff like that. But like then I'm also like, look, it's a freaking made up world with like made up races.
The people
made
up are fighting
languages.
With dragons.
Like this is not like it's not that deep. Like I mean, of things to pick apart in that show.
By the way, I think everybody looks ridiculous in platinum blonde hair.
Well, I mean,
the white actors and the black actors,
because it's not a normal natural hair color. The silver hair is.
It also looks ridiculous, and 4K TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, and dragons aren't real.
That is a great point.
The whole wig controversy.
People live in La La Land.
Like a big deal. There's so many TikToks and like videos of people rating the wigs on that.
It just
show.
Looks like wigs.
Yeah. Some of them are better than others, and some of them are just flat out bad.
Yeah. So
where do you stand on this, Joe?
So in House of the Dragon, where you're creating new characters, do whatever you want. With an existing character, I think you run in to a problem doing it. And the problem is that the character... So if we're to take the argument that race is a significant factor in people's lives, if you take the character and you embody them in a different race or gender, or sexuality for that matter, you are fundamentally changing the character. such that I don't think you consider the character or the story to be the same thing. Now, you only have to say that if you believe that race, gender, sexual, whatever it is, fundamentally change who people are. If you don't believe that premise, then you should be able to swap people in and out for the most part. Yeah. And I think most people, there's a gradient, right? Most people say, yeah, when you're swapping genders, men and women are very different, have different experiences. And then you get down to like swapping sexualities. Well, if the character is gay or bisexual, but that doesn't feature in the show, does it really matter if the character is gay or bisexual?
Yeah.
So that's my take on it. It depends on where you are on that issue. Doesn't matter. I personally think for content creation purposes, and I saw some of the reaction videos of like black girls learning the new Little Mermaid was going to be black and they were super pumped about it. Mm-hmm. And I get that from a parenting perspective. I think they would be better served having original characters developed for them.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because ultimately what you're doing is you're still telling them pretend to be this white character, which isn't what you want. Mm-hmm. What you want is to embody a heroine so strong and attractive that white girls want to be like the black heroine in the show.
Yeah. And there's a whole other conversation with like retelling a lot of these like Disney princess stories is like, is the content itself just so outdated? Like, do we still want girls to grow up thinking that some man's going to save them and they're going to be a princess and they're going to live in a cat? Like, and I know, I guess they're going to change that up with the Little Mermaid. That's not supposed to be her goal. But then at that point, I'm like, okay, well, then like, why don't we just tell a whole different mermaid story? Like at that point.
Correct. Why even redo it?
Like just make a whole new mermaid character. Like that would be great. But I mean, like, again, like it's so, I don't know. Doesn't matter to me. I do find it so funny in Game of Thrones that the one thing that all the characters get so bent out of shape on is like, the hair color of their offspring, like of anything like in that show. It's like if they all don't have blonde hair, they're bastards.
Well, they're using as a proxy. They're using as a proxy way to discuss race.
And it's exactly how it comes off. And so like in this last episode, like the hair color was like a huge conversation piece, but like Rhaenyra is married to a black man, but it was nothing about that. It was like, they're brunette. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it was like, it was just interesting to watch it in that respect. I don't know. Like, sorry, I'm not going to try to spoil anymore for Alex here, but.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. I forgot for a second that you're not caught up.
It's okay.
That is the least of things to be spoiled though for that show. But it goes on to like, and even like in original Game of Thrones, like Ned Stark opens a book where they keep track of every offspring's hair color when he like talks about when like Sansa and Arya, mm-hmm. he's like, you guys need to go back to King's Landing. And Sansa's like, no, I'm supposed to have Joffrey's babies. They're all going to be blonde. And like Arya's like, he's a Baratheon. They're not going to be blonde. And like Ned Stark's like, huh, weird. And he opens a giant book and it's just like Bob Clark. Like brown, born of brown hair, like Joe Clark, born of brown hair. Like it's like someone wrote a whole book, and the
Hair Meister.
It was just like nothing else but their name and what like their hair color was. I just think that's such an odd.
Alex, where are you on this?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you a little bit. Like, if it doesn't change fundamentally what the character stands for, or what their character like is based off of, then I don't have an issue with changing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody'd be better served creating new characters that are purpose built with that identity in mind. If in fact you're arguing that the identity matters that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of old just to keep retelling the same stories that we told in the 40s. That also like with so much Disney content is like,
that's not how myths work. Myths are retold over and over again because they have some archetypal value to them that applies to all humanity at all times.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, that is foundational to Western thought.
I also think that people who get too bent out of shape when, like, a new character turns out they're black or they're Asian or whatever it may be, mm-hmm. like, they just have too much time on their hands.
Yeah.
Like, this is just a new story.
Like, so I would give you the counter to, and look, I don't care enough about corporate myths, which is essentially what all these things are. You know, we've just corporatized the myth making of our society, and I don't care that much about them to really care. But if you were heavily invested in them and they were a part of your, literally, I think, superheroes and Star Wars and things like that are a big part of the worldview of millions of Americans, and the corporation starts to toy with that, you would get upset because it's the equivalent of changing some form of scripture. Because you've probably based a substantial part of your life on it, and life decisions on it, and beliefs about morality on it. Because, like it or not, you're like, humans are kind of programmed morally, behaviorally by the stories, the narratives they're exposed to. Those are the dominant narratives we're exposed to in our culture. So they've programmed, you know, most of us in some substantial way.
I also think it's really funny that, like, we have known the next live action Little Mermaid was going to be a black woman for years now. And every time, like, something new came out, like, she's getting casted. Oh, here's a picture. Here's the trailer. It's like the outrage has to be completely redone. They're like, what?
Well, can I, so counter on that.
Okay.
Disney has good PR people.
Yeah.
How do you know they're just not creating that story over and over again to get attention? Because they realize if they just pull like three tweets from people, it's a whole media cycle for them.
I totally think that's actually, I was going to say, I don't think as many people are outraged about the Little Mermaid thing as people want you to believe.
By the way, the answer to the question was 49%.
Oh.
So about half of Americans are good with it. Half of Americans are not good with it.
Gotcha. That's, does not surprise me.
And that is when the source material does explicitly state the race of the character is white.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay, speaking of dressing things up.
And princesses.
Man, princesses. There's a lot of Halloween makes transitions pretty easy because you have a lot of links. So Halloween segment, we did our Explore the Halloween Store last week.
Yes.
And I've pulled the numbers. This is from the National Retail Foundation estimating that U.S. Halloween spending to hit a record of $10.6 billion. That's roughly $100 per consumer. This is in spite of the inflation levels not seen for 40 years. 69% of consumers are planning to celebrate Halloween this year.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a lot of fun. I think COVID really, like, last year, you know.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Of that $10.6 billion,
okay.
$710 million is spent on pets.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
About 8%.
I almost bought a costume for my cat at Target, and I am a very anti, don't dress up your pets. Like, a bandana's cute, but, like, that's kind of where I end it. Like, oh my gosh, I almost made, it was a banana costume for my cat.
Let's talk. We went to, we'll give away, Spirit Halloween is where we went.
Mm-hmm.
Walked around, just opened. For reference, Spirit Halloween, very large business, $500 million estimated in revenue annually. The business is probably valued somewhere itself in the $10 million range. It accounts for about 16% of all expenditures on costumes. Great business. Also, no fixed retail space.
Yeah.
They just rent whatever's cheapest and available.
For like 2 months.
Yeah, for 2 or 3 months. Okay. So, Kirsten, what were you seeing? What were your impressions walking around? What's on trend this year?
So, I definitely think the most traditional stuff was not out as, like, I guess in the front. Like, I maybe because I didn't walk in, like, the kids section or anything.
Nope. It was all, it was very similar to the adult section.
Okay.
I think what you're going to say is everything was heavily branded.
It was heavily branded, but it wasn't the typical, like, all Disney, all, nope. Like there was a whole steampunk, like,
there's
aisle.
There's a Hocus Pocus section.
Yeah.
A lot of retro stuff being brought back. Well, a Hocus Pocus, I
Hocus
noticed.
Hocus Pocus
Ghostbusters.
2 is coming out, like, tomorrow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, 30 years later.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, that's why the Hocus Pocus thing is being pushed. I actually don't think Hocus Pocus 2 is going to do that great because the only people that are going to watch it are our generation.
Well, I think Hocus Pocus is one of those like cult classics, and yeah. it'll do probably surprisingly well.
Okay. I'm gonna watch it. I love me some Hocus Pocus. It's like my favorite Halloween movie. But like, I saw, what else did I see a lot of? Weird food stuff, like the Cheetos corner was yeah. kind of weird. Like I want to be a taco this year.
Yeah,
like,
a lot of food costumes.
Yeah, that was kind of bizarre. What about you, Alex? What was like something you saw a lot of?
Yeah, there was a lot of food. Like I remember seeing the White Claw costume. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. Less horror costumes.
Less horror.
Yeah. Yeah,
I definitely agree with Joe. A lot of more branded like IP characters.
Yeah, there was a Yellowstone. Cowboy.
Oh, big. That was Cowboy a big was big. One.
The yeah. Yellowstone part was a sizable section. Of course, Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
Marshmallow. There was yeah. kids and adults. Marshmallow.
There was a big Beetlejuice.
Oh yeah, Beetlejuice
was a big one.
All the retro stuff, all the 80s stuff.
Well, again, like
Ghostbusters.
Beetlejuice is on Broadway now.
Is it?
Yeah, and it's really good, and the music is great. They performed at the last or two, whatever. Yeah. Thanksgiving.
And not just basically. Beetlejuice is the costume; like all the characters oh, yeah. had costumes.
Yeah, I was not a big Beetlejuice kid. Not gonna lie, I just never really got into it. You know, I saw a costume on TikTok. Real quick, sorry, I didn't mean to derail it. But someone said to dress up as a Ouija board, and she literally like painted it on like her, and everybody was like, "You just became a portal to the," like people were roasting her in the comments, and I was like, "Yeah, that's not a great one. I can't say that one was good." Handmaid's Tale costume was out there on the racks, which was like a very yeah. taboo one a couple years ago. And it's interesting that they're still selling
that.
They
had Squid Games out. That was what everybody yeah. wanted last year, but they didn't have time to manufacture it from when yeah. it came out to Halloween.
Now it's like it's mid. No one cares.
Yeah.
And like Squid Games was so last year.
Yeah. That's gone.
Surprisingly, didn't see a lot of like The Last of Us. Like, did you see any of that?
No, I didn't.
Like, I don't know why, but, like, with the whole, like, I just said, like, the trailer had dropped. I just sent it in our Slack. But, like, Pedro Pascal's in it, and the girl from, like, Game of Thrones is in it. And, like, I mean, they have some serious good, like, apocalyptic costumes, but horror costumes with, like, the fungal disease clicker monsters that, like, are the zombies or whatever. I'm surprised that wasn't as big. It will be probably next year.
Yeah, when that show comes out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Walking Dead.
What show is this?
The Last of Us. It used to be a video
game. Oh, okay.
It
is
a
yeah.
TV rendition
yep.
of it.
But it looks so good. The trailer.
What platform is it coming out on?
HBO.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I didn't see any Lord of the Rings stuff.
No Lord of the Rings stuff. Even the Game of Thrones stuff was very like yeah. limited, which I think that's going to be a big costume this year.
Yeah, I think everything. But they had a lot of medieval, Viking, yeah. classical stuff.
The problem yeah. with the Game of Thrones stuff is that those costumes would be so thick.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to wear that to a club or...
In Florida, at least, no.
Yeah, at least in Florida. Maybe in Alaska.
I also took note that
there you just cut it shorter and make it, you know, sexy Game of Thrones.
I was going to just about to say, the sexy costumes were really limited.
Yeah, way more muted, too. Even the ones that were described as, yeah. like, sexy were way more conservative.
Yeah, I was very much like, oh, where's that corner at where you find that crazy shit? Sorry. I need to not curse on this show, but like,
yeah, but it wasn't there. Just it was
not there. They had like some tutus, and that was about like it. But that was not even.
Well, they had like feminine versions that were tighter fitting and shorter and like lower cut. But there was nothing. There was nothing like scandalous in there.
Yeah, it was kind of mid. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't see any costumes in there that I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna totally grab that. Joe found his costume.
Always do.
Alex has his costume picked
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I ordered it online.
Yeah. Interesting.
From the internet.
I think I'm going to make a costume. I love making costumes. Like, I find that to be the real joy of
Halloween. The hurricane coming, you'll have plenty of time because you'll have no power. You can just sit there and hand stitch it.
I know. I'm going to go to Goodwill tonight and I'm going to go pick up.
You could be Hurricane
Ian. What are you going to do?
I think I'm just going to do Game of Thrones.
Good. Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. Sense. I'm going to get my hair dyed in a couple weeks, so I'm going to just go all out.
You'll look more realistic than the characters in the show.
I can get a really bad silver wig.
Just dye your hair silver.
But then I have to live with that after Halloween.
Yeah, that's fine. So doesn't impact me a bit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what I dye my hair for. I dye my hair for me. I don't know.
Last story, Apple announced that they were picking up the halftime show this year.
Yes. Rihanna.
After Pepsi had it forever. 20 years, I think, Pepsi had it.
Wow.
So Apple's picking it up. This is being covered as like, you know, this is Apple getting in, kind of trying to see if things will work with the NFL to get the Sunday ticket package next year.
Mm.
And Rihanna is official?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I love Rihanna. Riri, we good. I've heard that she's putting out a new album because she was spotted leaving a studio. So I think that's going to, if she gets a good album out, she hasn't had an album out since 2017, they said. Mm-hmm. Her Anti album was the last one. And she's been exclusively just doing her lingerie, makeup, and skincare brands, which are great, but it's not been music based. She has so many classically great songs that are just like bops, and they never get old. I think she'll be a great performer. She is a mom now, so
it's going to be another one where like the Gen Zers are confused about what's going on and who the old lady is on stage.
No, she's not really an old lady though.
But
she's like my age.
She has not been significant for 5 or 6 years.
She's been significant not in music.
But for the Gen Zers, like, I think one of the things the NFL is doing with this is the NFL is backing off trying to go after a younger audience, and they're expressly going after an older millennial, younger Gen Xer audience.
Yeah. Oh, she's 34. I thought she was younger.
Which I think is a problem.
Because you think, why do you think it's a problem? Do you think it's because their audience is eventually going to, like, they're not developing a new one?
Yep. And all those kids. They're on the video games. They're watching soccer. You can see it in the ratings. When we look at the ratings after the Super Bowl every year, you can see that young cohort keeps falling year over year.
What do they have to do to get the young audience back? Do you think it's just getting a performer?
I think so.
But they had like The Weeknd,
which confused all the older millennials and Xers and boomers.
Sure, but like, did that change anything with like Gen Z watching it?
No, I mean, what I'd do if I was the NFL, I would just give TikTok the most fantastic deal ever on the halftime show.
Oh, I think that's a good idea.
Like, TikTok, how much for the halftime? And I thought TikTok was going to buy the halftime show. Maybe they tried. Mm-hmm. My guess is, though, all the China stuff probably scared the NFL away from it. But if I was the NFL, I'd give it to TikTok. But TikTok, you can have this for free.
Yeah.
We'll put your name on it for free. Here's what we want. Make us the most important thing in TikTok for 10 days straight every year.
That's actually a great plan. I think that was the least. I thought you were going to say, Olivia Rodrigo needs to go in the Super Bowl.
Good for you!
But yeah, she puts a new album out, maybe. At least Rihanna has like several.
Is Taylor Swift on a Super Bowl?
She couldn't because it was Pepsi. Remember I said this in the car? Oh. She's a Coca-Cola girl.
So she can now, though.
Now she can.
That's the only reason?
That's what I was told, is that she could never do a Pepsi halftime thing because she was sponsored by Coke. Oh. I don't know if that's actually true.
Celebrities could be sponsored by a soda.
She did
all the Coca-Cola commercials and stuff. And I that's what I heard, is that she could never do one as long as they were like the sponsor. And now they're not. But holy crap, I would love to see a Taylor Swift halftime.
Yeah.
I don't think the dudes would be into it.
Still would be confusing to Gen Zers.
Yeah, well.
But the millennials would be there.
I would be there. I'd probably even buy the tickets.
You'd buy tickets to the Super Bowl?
Maybe, if the Jags were playing.
There's a lot of things that happen
You live in a fantasy world.
I'm manifesting a Taylor Swift halftime performance with the Jags playing.
Yeah, okay.
I'm manifesting it. Write it down right now.
Pop off.
I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but it will.
All right. Anything else?
Hurricane prep time.
Oh, yeah. We got a few minutes. You know my stance on this. Hurricanes are a marketer's dream.
Yeah.
Never an easier time. Hurricanes and snowstorms. Never an easier time to sell.
Yeah.
People just buy anything. if there's a snowstorm moving in, a hurricane, they'll just go buy everything. Tell me why. Tell me, riddle me this, Kirsten Alex. What is more perishable than eggs?
Your life.
Milk.
Milk. Yeah. Why is it if you go to the grocery store before a storm, they'll be sold out of eggs and milk? The power could literally be off 4 weeks. You can't refrigerate that. Why do you need eggs and milk? Also, what do you do with all that milk in your house unless you have small children?
I was going to say, Joe, your daughter literally, like, her favorite thing to consume is milk.
Oh, I'm going to have to just buy a Yeti cooler and keep ice in it just to keep milks there. Like, I really, but I'm an edge case.
Cut it with some water.
But eggs, people are buying eggs. People are stocking up like they're for the apocalypse, but with stuff that's going to go bad.
Eggs, okay, look. You can actually keep eggs out of the refrigerator.
Yeah, if they're farm raised, if they haven't been, I don't remember what the treatment process is that treats the shells. Once those shells are treated, you can oat.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because I thought Americans were weird because we do that. A lot of other countries.
It's how the eggs are processed after they leave the chicken's butt.
Yeah, that's how
I think.
I don't really know.
I'm sure the audience will double check me. Send a nasty email.
Well, I went and bought a bunch of bread yesterday.
You went and brought a what?
I bought a bunch of bread. That was really hard to say.
Are you just going
to
eat sandwiches for? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got peanut butter and jelly in case things really go sideways.
Protein dense, that peanut butter.
But usually when we get to the point, like when I get to that third, fourth day when like the fridge is like questionable, it's like, all right, what the fuck are we cooking? Oh my God, I need to stop cursing. Can we cut?
Kirsten broke the show. So, it's like power tools, plywood, water. People will buy water first. And this confuses me because do you know how you can have like enough water in your house without buying it?
Fill a bathtub.
But people are going out and buying gallons and gallons and gallons of water. Just like fill your bathtub.
Well, I think those people like to have ready to drink water too. Do you like to drink your bathtub water?
You just wipe the bathtub, just clean it with a little bleach, and then fill it.
Yeah, see, like, I would do that, but I'd still, like, feel like I have to, like, boil it after.
Yeah. You trust your pipes? 100%?
I drink out of them all the time.
Well, okay. I mean, okay, look, I drink tap water every day because it's constantly being cycled, it seems. But when it's just sitting out in the pipes...
It's not sitting in the pipes, it's in your bathtub.
Well, my bathtub is where I go to bathe when I'm disgusting, so...
Don't you have two bathrooms?
Yeah. So...
Fill one bathtub, use the other to shower.
I mean, I will fill a bathtub, because that's what you're supposed to do, but I would probably boil the water before I actually, like, consumed it. Like, I wouldn't just go take my cup and scoop it up out of the tub and start chugging. Like,
I would.
That's disgusting.
Gotta survive.
I would probably give it a good... Like, I'd fill a pot. I'd boil it, let it cool for the rest of the day, and drink out of that pot. And then you're going to be like, oh, guys, I got so sick. I got
E. coli from drinking bath water.
I got so sick, guys, and I couldn't flush my toilet because there was no water. And so I had to go out in the yard and dig a cat hole.
Give my little shovel.
And then I was out there with my dog, Jasper's side by side.
Jasper's just watching me poop, wondering what's going on. Okay. Thank you for listening, everybody. If you liked what you heard, leave us a nice comment. And until next time, this is Of Record. Of Record is hosted by me, Joe Clements, with the assistance of producer Alex Reinhard. Of Record is produced at the Trailway Studio in Tallahassee, Florida. This episode was edited by producer Alex Reinhard. Our theme music is composed and performed by Rob Goki. Special thanks to our entire team here at SDS. You can see more information about the show on our website, podcastofrecord.com. As always, we'd appreciate your reviews and ratings in your podcast app of choice. These ratings and reviews help more people discover the show, which helps us keep delivering quality content each week. Thanks for listening.